Amen. We're going to finish up the Jerusalem church problem solving. First, today we would like to read again the scriptures from the Bible. Then we're going to go and answer the questions. We're just going to kind of like briefly go over it again. So on page 9, will somebody read Acts 4:32-37.
Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or household sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated Son of Encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Okay, teachers, how would you teach that? What would be the meat out of this?
Community.
They were a community. Yeah, a community. And what else?
It's a reminder that nothing that we possess here on the earth is ours. God has made us stewards of whatever we possess, and we'll be judged on how we use those blessings.
Amen. Anybody else?
This would have been, to me, I think about it often as the Acts Church, and I think of it as the most wonderful, almost close to heaven as you could be, where everyone was with one accord, everyone had no need, everyone was on the same page, everyone was happy, everyone was fed and clothed, and everyone was just all talking about the Lord, and to me, this is about as close as we could be on earth, and kind of like, there was no need anywhere, and there's no fussing, no fighting. This is what the world should be like all the time.
Exactly. And she brought out the true word, one accord.
One accord.
One accord. Same mind, same heart, thinking the same thing, teaching the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, this is very important. And see, this like we said last week, this is the beginning of the church. It's a new thing, okay? And this is how the fresh church started, the new thing, right? And that new thing should be for us today, that one accordness. And you know, you could even take this into marriage. Are you with me? They were in one accord. We know about they sold the possession and they distributed and made sure the church had first. The family, right? The father and mother, they gathered together for their family, right? And before they say give to someone else's family, they make sure what? Their family had eaten first. Are you with me? It's just like if it's a famine, right? I'm just saying now, right? If it's a famine in the land, and my family is hungry, right? And I see Jerry's family, and I'm gonna be good-hearted and give to him first, right? And then when I come home, I don't have nothing for my family. You see, what they done, they brought it together and distributed it and made sure that nobody had need of. Are you with me? That's what they did. That was powerful. And that's what the church should be about today. All right? Anybody in this congregation shouldn't have to go outside of this congregation to ask for help.
That's right.
Are you with me? You know, it should be help here for them. Are you with me? It's just like I said, my house, right? I shouldn't, you know, have to go out of my house and ask nobody for something if my wife got it or vice versa, you know, so forth and so on. But this church, this was new. They were starting out. You know, it was new to them. And they got it from the Holy Spirit. That's what they got this from, the Holy Spirit. That what they should be doing as a togetherness, as like you said, one accord. You know, one accord means together. You know, one accord together means teaching the same thing. You know, it just means together. Together. Okay. All right, somebody read Acts 6, chapter 1 through 7.
And now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them.
One more.
Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Amen. Think of these names, right? We should be kind of glad that we, you know, don't have those names, you know. Hey, Prochorus, can I speak to you? You know, but anyway, teachers, how would you teach this? What would you say? What do you get out of this? Because we all are teachers. Go ye therefore and teach. We need to when we read this, right? It's very important that we study, we read it, and we study this so we could apply this to other folk just like we apply it to ourselves. Are you with me? And I'm not saying that you're doing this. Don't wait for the teacher, right, to teach you and then, right? You kind of like get this thing going before. You know, you go home and you read this thing and you answer these questions, right? But you don't know what Brother Pastor might ask you. You know, I'm not going to pick on nobody, honestly, God, because I know how it is. You didn't study, and then I'm going to call on you. Are you with me? Do you remember when we was at school? Do you remember how it was? And the teacher would call on us, and it's almost as though she knew I didn't study, right? Ain't going to call my name. And I don't have no answer for her, right? And the rest of the class, you know, they just going to have fun with that. But anyway, teachers, how would you teach this?
Trouble in paradise. Once this church got started, it wasn't long before people were feeling somebody's getting more than their share.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be Christians who are kind of outsiders because they weren't in the area when they didn't live in that area. So mm-hmm. they were kind of like outsiders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was so neat that mm-hmm. that they thought of bringing people, some of their own disciples, apostles, to come in and take care of their needs mm-hmm. so that the gospel could continue to mm-hmm. keep going. They wanted to keep that good thing going, mm-hmm. but those troublemakers were, they thought, neglecting their widows, and that they didn't want that to be their focus anymore, take their focus off of teaching.
Exactly.
So that's why it was important, even in our church today, never lose sight of the focus that we have in mm-hmm. teaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it straight, keep it right. Mm-hmm. And I love that they even picked people who were from that area,
mm-hmm.
who could relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have foreigners who come in, or if we ever had foreigners coming in, we could help them out. I mean, look for ways to make them more comfortable so they would stay and worship with us.
Amen. You see, they saw a need.
Yes.
And the need was, you know, it's like they were being neglected. And, you know, and how could you be a Christian and you know, and neglect folks? So they picked out some people. They picked out some people, and their names were Philip, Proclus, Nicanor, Timon, Arminas, Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch. You see, and thank God that we don't have names like that.
I like that name,
Nicholas.
That's a cool name.
You know.
We need another
grandchild. You know.
I don't know.
You know, go ahead.
I know.
You
know,
the word matters.
Yes.
Truth matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They took time to find the right person to carry on this word.
Amen. Teachers.
2 Timothy 4:3, it tells us there'll be a time when the truth won't matter to people.
Exactly.
They'll no longer stick to sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the way the church was established, everything they did and how they did it matters.
Exactly.
And that's the way it should be today. But that's why we got so many different denominations out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth today to a lot of people don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it doesn't mean the same thing. Yes, it does. They took the time and effort to make sure the foundation was built correctly, that everybody was on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to follow that example.
Full of... Go ahead.
And another thing, too, along with Brian, what he was saying, is that my favorite part of that passage was that a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
What do we hear through the whole New Testament? The scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, all those who didn't. But here's some, there were some obedient priests.
Mm-hmm.
They liked what they saw, they were obedient, and they kept going. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. The priests became obedient. You don't hear that much in the Gospels. They're usually the Jesus opposers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
And
Madison, I love the way you end your sermon. You end your sermon, it's a must. You must hear.
Mm-hmm.
You must believe.
Mm-hmm.
You must be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And this scripture is a must. And you hit it every time at the end of your sermon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for that. Thank
also,
you.
What I see from this is the example of how the deacons were selected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Unfortunately, it seems there's been far too many times when the congregation want to make up a job for someone who is popular.
Exactly.
To give them a position and call them deacon or whatever.
Or a preacher.
And, yeah. And so, and here, a need surfaced and then was identified to be legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And then their approach was letting the congregation choose.
Mm-hmm.
Send up some names instead of it being like, I say, buddy,
mm-hmm.
hey,
mm-hmm.
you, we're gonna make you a deacon of blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, the word is escaping me here, but we want it all to be on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's on the inside job, say, hey, we want to submit this person for this position. Where is the example of that in this?
Mm-hmm.
It is the people, the congregation, submitted the names.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it went through the process.
And are you qualified? You know, it reminds me, right, I was, you know, a few times I was working on a job, you know, I never pushed myself for no position. I never done that. Ask me why, I may have 100 reasons why, but I never pushed myself for a position. And several times, you know, there were some positions open, right? And there were some people who was qualified for it, but the foremans or the boss, they didn't like that person, so they didn't give it to them, so they're going to give it to somebody who's unqualified and then make them qualified. Are you with me? It's like, I don't like you even though you're qualified. Right? And I'm going to give you this position, right? And I'm going to work with you. Are you with me? Wherein you got one who's qualified for the position and not getting the position. You know, you've been there before?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I never, whatever position, preaching, whatever, right? I never forced it. I never pushed it, right? I just want to be qualified, and you come and get me. You know, I'm sorry. That's just how it is, right? But anyway, I was working on a job, right? And the guy knew I was qualified. You know, I had it all going on. You know, and the supervisor. He just, you know, right? So he got somebody else. Worked out for a little while. He got somebody else. Worked out for a little while, right? But he would not pick Kenny Patterson, right? And I said, you know, that's the way you want it? Hey, you know, I got other things to do. I got some studying to show myself approved unto God. You know, I got some praying to do because I need prayer. My family needs prayer. I'm tied up anyway. You know, you go ahead and undertake this because if I get it, it ain't for show. It's gonna be for real. You know, but we see here that they said to pick out some people who were what filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So that's who they needed, people who were filled with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
It's a saying that what God has for you mm-hmm. is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what God has designed for you to get, you're going to get it anyway.
It
God said, I don't know how many people step in your mm-hmm. way, try to block you from it. Mm-hmm. If it's God will for you to get it, you're going to get it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes because we want certain things, we try to have God out. So
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And we'll put people in place that we want, you know, to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, they're not qualified or they may mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we ourselves will go for a position or try to do something, won't do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work out
mm-hmm.
because that's not what God wants.
And sometimes we get to position and can't handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I was kind of like that. You know, I said, you know, I ain't gonna force it. You know, try to knock somebody out the box. You know, to get the position right. Because if I get it, you know, that's gonna be some embarrassment and whatnot. But they said they needed somebody filled. He said, pick them out. There's some among you who are more righteous than others. Mm-hmm. You should know. You should see these people who are doing more good things than others, who are studying more than others, you know, who's paying attention more than others. Pick out some people. And they picked out these boys. Okay. Acts 15, 6 through 12.
The apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we should be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles.
Okay. Teachers, what is this? What could you, what meat can you get out of this? That they wanted to?
I would say, what they told the people, I'm sorry, but I didn't read it.
They were saying, you know, that, you know, the only way you could be saved is be, huh?
The circumcision?
Yeah, by being a Jew. You got, you know, yeah.
Okay.
You know, think about that, you know. You know, I come to, I'm going to say something, right? And it's you know, I love you all, but hear me out, right? Please hear me out. At one time, it was told to black folks that there is no heaven for them.
Why?
That was history. Yeah. You know, just go back in. And don't let this, right? Please, all right? Please. Okay? Please don't, right? Think about this, right? I come in, I said, I want to be baptized. I'm sorry, you can't, because. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Are you with me? So that's kind of like how it was. And listen to me. Please listen to me real close. I love you all, right? When I look at you, I don't see nothing but Christians. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? That's who I see, a body, God's people. Okay, but I said that to bring, maybe I shouldn't have said it, but to make an understanding that people were coming, they wanted to be Christians, they wanted to be saved, but they were pushed away, mm-hmm. right? Because they said, you know, said, listen, if you really want to be saved, this is what you're going to have to do. Are you with me? This is what you're going to have to do. And that's not with Christ, that wasn't his plan. His plan was for everybody now to be saved. Are you with me? That Old Testament was what? Put away. There's some new teaching now. That's why they call it the New Testament. Are you with me? Jesus came in and you know. So in other words, whoever wanted to be saved can be saved. But you remember Peter? Peter had a problem. Peter had a problem and I always look at it like this, right? Peter was the first. He was the first preacher, wasn't he? You know, he opened up the church's door. Are you with me? When God saw Peter and Andrew, I think they was amongst the first. Are you with me? And Peter was there. Peter opened up the doors. He preached, right? And then later on, hear me, please. Please. Later on, he was with the Gentiles, right? But when the other Jews came around, what did he do? He shied away, right? And Paul saw that. What did Paul do? To his face. He said, come here, you know, we got to talk. He didn't probably do it, you know, to embarrass him or whatever. Right. He said, come here, we got to talk, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he said, what you doing? That ain't right. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? That it's this door is open for Jews and Gentiles. Mm-hmm. All right? And that's why later on it says that they were called what? Christians. Mm-hmm. All right? There was no more for the Jew, you know, like Jew and Gentile, right? It was Christians now. And that was the beginning for us to come together and be known as what? Christians. Not black and white, not Chinese or Spanish, but Christians. Are you with me? That's what we are known as, Christians. When I see you, that's what I see. Christians. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have time for the other stuff. I do not have time. If I don't see you again, are you with me? Please remember this. Brother Patterson said, I don't have time to hate nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to, I just don't. I'm too tied up, man. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? I don't have time to hate. I don't have time to be envy. I don't have time to be prejudiced. Forget it. I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. I'm tied up, man. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So if you look at me and you think that I'm that way, that's on who?
You.
Are you with me? If you just a little bit think of me like that, that's on you. It's not me. I don't have time for it. Are you with me? I tell you often, I don't know how long I got here. Are you with me? I know how long they tell me I've been here. Are you with me? I know about that. And I ain't sure about that because they telling me this, right? But I kind of like know how long, right? But I don't know if I got to the end of this service. Are you with me? I don't know. So what I want to do, I want to take all my time that I got and use it for the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. And you know, I ain't perfect. You know, and I'm not using that as an excuse, right? But that's how I want to be. Because I done enough bad stuff. Are you with me? And I know that ain't the proper, you know. You know, I got it, you know. But anyway, but there was a problem, right? That they was trying to put a yoke on them, you know, saying that you got to go and, you know. And any man who's been circumcised, if you hadn't been circumcised when you was a child, you are going through something. You been there? No? Okay. That's some pain yet you're going to have to walk around with, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I remember a story, I forgot who it was in the Old Testament, right? But this boy had wanted to get back at these people. I forgot the name, forgive me. Yeah, I wanted to get back at these boys for raping his sister.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, come on, you know, let's you know, come on, fellas. Right? But you know, let's be circumcised, right? And they got circumcised, and what did he do?
He slaughtered them.
Because they, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So what they're saying today, excuse me, in this, right, they're saying that you know, you need to be, you go through all of that just to be a Christian, right? But it didn't have to be that way, okay? That's not that. We all are now Christians.
Amen. And so in the synagogues, they had the Torah, mm-hmm. the old scriptures. Mm-hmm. And part of that was the Genesis account. And so why does that matter in this event mm-hmm. is that they didn't make the connection of what was stated mm-hmm. way back in Genesis, mm-hmm. where in Genesis 12, I'll be reading the New International Version from 1 down to verse 3, mm-hmm. where it states, the Lord has said to Abram, and so they, you know that culture at that time was all wrapped around Abram, mm-hmm. leave your country, your people, in your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And they remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I will make your name great. They remember that. And you will be a blessing. And they remember that. I will bless those who bless you. They remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever curses you, I will curse
mm-hmm.
you. They remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. They forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
All people.
Exactly. And that's why Christ came to what? Fulfill, make it clear.
Right.
Are you with me? We don't have no excuse now for not doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? Because Christ made it clear. He made it clear. You say, turn to Galatians, third chapter. 22 through, let's just go through 26, 22 through 26. Somebody read that, please. Galatians 3, 22 through 26.
But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, mm-hmm. locked up until faith should be revealed.
Okay, I like that. Locked up. We was these people were locked up with that, mm-hmm. that law. Okay.
So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, mm-hmm. that we might be justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law.
Mm-hmm.
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Exactly. You see? See, that schoolmaster was back then. You know, we're not under that anymore. Are you with me? We're under God's Christ's grace, His grace. His grace, that's what we are under now. Not under that. And you know, a lot of people, they use this as saying that women, you know, could preach. Verses 28. You know, they want to use that to say, you know, there's no Greek, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's saying that, you know, we're not under that anymore. We're under in God's grace. We're in His grace now. We don't have no excuse, because Christ has told us everything that we need to do. He has told us why we need to do it, how we need to do it. It's nothing that we shouldn't know if we go ahead on and what study. But you got to study. You can't keep studying out of it. You got to study, because one thing about it, right? If I get up here and make a mistake, one of you should what?
Catch it.
Whoa, now, right? Right? Or vice versa, if you make a mistake, right? But when I go back to Peter and Paul, right? When Paul, he straightened Peter, there was no fuss.
Right.
Right? We don't read about that, right? In other words, I believe Peter was glad that somebody told him.
Right.
You know? He was glad that somebody straightened him out. Suppose he had went on and nobody straightened him out, and he had went to town or whatever, teaching that, right? You know, when the Gentiles came along, he couldn't be seen with them or whatever, right? And what if he had went on teaching that, but Paul was there to what? Stop that. You see? He was there to stop that. Okay? All right, teachers. All right, let's go to the questions now. We started the question, but we're going to go back over it again, okay? On page 13, the questions. Okay, the first question was, what did Jewish and Roman authorities expect to happen after they had put Jesus to death?
Name would be silent.
Exactly.
That would be the end of that.
Exactly. Excuse the expression, but cut the head off and the body would die.
Right.
Right? But because he died, he lived. You mm-hmm. see, that's the part they couldn't understand, right? Because he died, that's why he lived. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Because he died, that's why he lived. You see, and that's why we live, because of his death and resurrection. You see, he had to do that.
That was his old purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see, and like I said last week, Peter got in the way several times. He said, "Jesus, what?
This ain't gonna happen."
Jesus said, "Move about 6 feet. Go sit down, please." Right? Mm-hmm. You know, please, right? And they got to the garden. And so about 600 men came for Jesus, right? And Peter, he gonna take out a sword by himself. What are you supposed to be doing? Scanning somebody? What? Is he? Huh?
Is he?
he's supposed to be scaring somebody with one sword against 300 to 600 people.
But that was his nature.
Yeah.
To be impulsive,
mm-hmm,
and to act without thinking.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he had good intentions, but he did not have, he didn't think it through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can do that sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, we have good intentions,
mm-hmm,
but we don't go about it,
mm-hmm,
the right way.
Exactly. And like I said, my intentions with you is good. I love you people, man. Right? I love you. I love you. Love you. Right?
Never.
Okay?
Never.
I love you. Yes. Yes. I don't want no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? I'm whatever. You know? I remember a preacher, his name was Brother Cecil. You remember Brother Cecil, sister? Mm-hmm. Brother Cecil. He would say, that was my preacher, man. I declare. He said, you may not like me. How many of you know Brother Cecil? Okay. You may not like me. He said, you may never like me. I can't quote it. He said, you might be the meanest, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, but I got to do what I'm doing. Are you with me? You know, and he would say it at the end of every sermon. Are you with me? And he would put that in. I remember we went to a fellowship, right? And each preacher who got up there had 10 minutes, I think, right? Some preachers went overtime and they had to sit them down. Yes, you know, time is up, right? When Brother Cecil got up there, and I mean, he gave us a message. Not no, you know, crazy, you know, up and down. I'm talking about speech and talking, a preaching message, right? And he got that last quote in at the exact time that he was supposed to, you know? And I said, wow, right? I said, that's my preacher, man, I declare. That's my preacher. But anyway. But they figured that if they could just get Jesus out the way, everybody else would what? Just scatter. Don't know what to do. Are you with me? But it really was kind of like that, you know. But we're not gonna go back into that. But we're gonna try to answer these questions before time is up. Okay. Who was the comforter Jesus promised he would send? The Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say to say and teach that make his compassion for the poor evident?
That's who he came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
With the poor? What about the poor?
Blessed
are the poor. Mm-hmm. Blessed are the poor. Who are the people called Hellenists, Jews? Who are the Hellenist Jews?
Greeks who are Jewish.
Greeks who are Jewish. And they kind of like live with the Greeks, right? And they had a Greek culture about them. Okay, had a Greek culture about them, so forth and so on. Okay, are they ethnic Greeks?
No.
What complaint did the Hellenists bring before the church at Jerusalem?
Widows
were being neglected. What solution did the apostle offer when a grumbling arose in the church and over the neglected widows?
Appointed seven men to oversee the issues.
Okay.
And people select,
mm-hmm,
the men.
Mm-hmm. Full of what?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. What were the names?
I can't read them off the top of my head. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many were there?
Seven.
Okay. Okay, and what were their names?
Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Philip.
See them?
Cornelius.
See them?
Horus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch.
You see, that kind of name like that, a bear could become a proselyte. You know, you didn't mention, you said it right. So how are you supposed to know a bear's coming? Right? So we ought to be glad that we don't have names like that. We have names like Jim and Ken and Robert and so forth. We ought to be just glad about that. You know, because if a bear comes, hey, Robert, bear coming. Right? All right. What was their ethnic background? Okay. For what reason did some Jewish Christians oppose the preaching of Paul and Barnabas to Gentiles?
They didn't feel like they was in their class.
Exactly.
They still figured they were God's chosen people, so Gentiles weren't allowed.
And you know, and one of the things is, right, back in those days, these epistles may not have been written. How they got it, it was just taught verbally. And they had to be someplace that it was taught. They didn't have a Bible they could go to or whatever, right? But you know, like I said, we don't have no excuse because we got it. We got it. We got the Bible. All we have to do is open it. Are you with me? You see some people come to church with a whole raggedy Bible. You know why? Usually why? Because they've been using it. But if they got these brand new Bible with dust on it, something, you hadn't been using it. Are you with me? I used to see some people, I'm not saying, you know, you might just bought a Bible or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not messing with nobody now, really. But, I mean, some people have some torn up Bibles, right? When I was a kid, right, I seen it a lot, right? And I'm saying, you know, man, why don't you buy a Bible, right? You know? But they would bring that Bible, and that Bible was so close to them, right? Until they could find a chapter and verse just like that. Are you with me? Just like that, because that Bible was like a pet to them. You know, like one of his very own. Like, you know, they know exactly, you know, wham, you know, so forth and so on. Okay. All right. For what reason? Okay. Nine. Who was the apostle who first baptized Gentiles into Christ without requiring that they become Jews first? Okay. You see, Peter, you know, even though he was like that, he was straightened out. And he went on and what? And done the right thing. Are you with me? He was kind of like boastful, you know, he went on and you know, he did it. Okay? When the apostles and leaders of the Jerusalem church came together to hear Paul and Barnabas, what did Peter say at the assembly?
We believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved in the same manner as they.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Let's turn to Acts 15, 6 through 11. Somebody read that.
Few things are more certain than this. When people work and live together, they will disagree on occasion. Maybe there will be no disagreements in heaven, and until Christians get there will be differences. What matters is the way believers handle their differences. Mm-hmm. The controversy of Acts 15 is the continuation of an ongoing struggle between opposing viewpoints in the fledgling Christian church. Earlier, Peter had taught and baptized Gentile believers without requiring them to become Jews first. But Paul and Barnabas, at the direction of the Spirit and under the guidance of the church of Antioch in Syria, engaged in the first sustained, systemic missionary work among Gentiles. Okay. I read what you want.
Okay. 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 Yeah.
I'll just read from the session.
Okay.
What you want, or do you want the action?
Okay. No. That's good. But anyway, we see that the apostles and the elders of the ruler of the church came together to hear Paul and Barnabas, right? They was interested. They wanted to hear, and they heard. Are you with me? They heard, and Paul had he just had problems, because people just start not liking Paul. Are you with me? As early, they just, and I did a little study, and the Bible says whatsoever man soweth he reap, right? Paul had problems because of what he'd done, I believe. Are you with me? You see, Paul, at first, you know what he was. He had the people, right?
He persecuted.
Yeah, persecuted. Are you with me? He persecuted the church, right? And the thing is, he had some of them stoned and killed, right? And he was, he was behind it, right? And then at his end, what happened?
He had a change of heart.
He got saved. Exactly. And he himself was persecuted.
Yeah.
The same thing that he had people go through, right? He went through also. So we have to. How much more time do we got?
15.
Huh? That's it. Okay. But I hope and pray something. We got some. Read and study. Okay. Read the next. Lesson, answer the questions, right? You have something to do, because sometimes when we don't have anything to do, like it's a saying, right? An idle mind is what? Exactly. Always try to keep in either in prayer or in study or meditation or whatever. Always. All right, Robert, please.